Hello and welcome to the Waffle Zone. I'm your host, Uncle Steve. And on the line with me, in Kansas City, I have the flip-flop, thong, and horse shite guru, Matthew, in Kansas City, Kansas. What street do you live on?
The street don't matter. I live in the kingdom, baby.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
good. Don't you forget it. I've got another, what have I got, 6 more months, 9 more months of this, of being in the kingdom?
Yeah, at least. You got about 8, 9.
Well, unless they three-peat, which is the news on the street.
Oh, of course.
My street.
Yeah. So, and
hello, how are we?
Doing good. And you remember Matthew last week? We had a very, very special guest. We had Villa.
Yeah, we should make special guests more of a thing.
Yeah, that was a really, really cool thing. And because of that,
we're not going to have another special guest, are we?
Yes, Matthew.
Oh, about time.
I know you're going to be really excited to find this out, Matthew. But this week we have another very special guest. Let's see here. Ah, what the hell. Returning from her 3-week hiatus in Albion's land. Can you hear the tears falling from Andrew's face right now? We have Kirsty Prince back in Perth. Kirsty, how are you?
Hello. I'm not too bad, considering the jet lag.
Well. That's good. That's good. That. How long do you think it'll take you to get over that? How long does it take to get?
They say it's a day per hour. It's a 7-hour time difference.
So what if it's a 13-hour time difference? Week.
Well, I think
you'll be in a coma.
You'll just have to push through.
Yeah, because I'm flying to Australia, and the last place I will be is in Melbourne, and I believe it's a 17 or 16 hour time difference. So
17-hour flight.
Yeah. So.
That time difference is like nearly 24. So maybe it wouldn't be so bad.
Okay. Well, very good. Very good. We'll see how it goes.
Maybe it'll be like the same as me, like 7.
Yeah. I'm willing to give it a shot, so.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you back, Kirsty.
So.
I've already got a ticket, so. Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you back. I know you said you had a good time hanging out with your family. Kids had a good time. Your husband had a good time?
They didn't want to come back. My husband. Yeah. Yeah, he had a good time. I mean, he volunteered to stay home, but he had a good time once he got there.
Yeah.
Stay home as in Australia?
In Australia, which is his home.
Yeah, I can understand that too. So, well, I don't know if you remember, Kirsty, but on the Waffle, what we do is usually we talk about what music we've listened to. And since you're kind of like our guest this week, right, Matthew?
I guess so. It's been a while.
We should let her go first.
I always go first.
Yeah, that's true. So go ahead, Kirsty. What you got?
I mean, yeah, luckily I was in a plane for 18 hours, so I listened to some stuff.
Wow.
We'll start off with some Aha, because that's the current trend at the moment. Is that a trend? Scoundrel Days. Yeah, it's a trend.
Scoundrel Days. I've heard of that one.
That's right. And you need to get on board, Steve, because we're all listening to Aha now, all the cool kids.
Listen out.
All the cool kids.
Now, I don't know, about a year or two ago, they had an album out called True North. And I remember listening to it at the time, coming on to the Waffle and reporting that it was a bit not for me, a little bit too chill.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good for the plane, and they've actually made a movie. And that's the soundtrack, and they're playing it with an orchestra, and there's all these shots. They've done it in the Arctic Circle in the far north of Norway. Hmm. All these shots of mountains, and there's a guy surfing, but obviously in a dry suit or he'd die. Hmm. And it was just a really beautiful, chill thing to sit and listen to and look at when I'm hoping that I might fall asleep. That was very lovely.
Yeah.
And something else quite relaxing that I listened to was Crosby, Stills and Nash and Young. Okay. Deja Vu.
Okay, good one.
Because I've been talking to my parents about the cult under the midnight sun. The song
Yeah.
My Butterfly Heart sounds a little bit like, yeah, they both picked it as well.
Nice.
And that made me want to listen to it. And it was available on the plane because, as I told you, I've lost my headphones. So a lot of the time I use the airplane entertainment system to pick my music through their headphones.
Right.
So that's why I got to see that True North film, because up the Emirates were showing it, which is really cool.
Okay.
And they had King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Oh my God, I've forgotten the name of the album. I'm just going to have to look it up quickly. It was absolutely mental. It was exactly the right thing for just sitting with your eyes closed listening to.
Yeah.
Right, I've got to find the name of it now. Look it up. Petrodragonic Apocalypse. That's not the full name. That's the shortened name. It's a concept album as well. Focuses on humans who have ignored the environmental crises happening and turned to witchcraft as a means to solve it. Instead, they release a dragon who brings about the end of the world.
And this is a band you said this band was kind of like a different, they had like kind of a
genre
every flavor
hoppers,
out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're always quite progressive and a little bit psychedelic, but they've done quite a lot of different genres, and this is meant to be their thrash metal album.
Oh, okay.
And it is really fast and really heavy, but it is also progressive. You know, it's got like the sort of polyrhythms, time changes, unusual instruments, a bit of throat singing.
Oh, where's Villa?
So, I know, exactly. I heard that he was listening to The Who.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But I listened to that twice on the way and once on the way back. But
that's,
I don't know if I just would listen to it in the car or what. I got Aaron to listen to it because they're from Australia. I thought it might be cool if he liked it, and they came over and he said, yeah, it was all right, which is, you know, that's praise coming from him.
Wait, who's from Australia?
Duncan Gizzard.
Oh, I thought you were saying the Who band was from. Okay, yeah.
No, they're Mongolian.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Then I thought, oh, I'll try something else that I haven't heard before. You always hear, right, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. They're like at the top of charts and things, and I've never listened to them. And I used to like Oasis.
Yeah.
And I listened to about 3 songs, and I couldn't be bothered to listen to anymore. So there you go.
He's the guitar player in Oasis, right?
Yeah. Okay. He's a singer, though. He was the better singer whenever he sang on the Oasis song.
Yeah, right.
But, it's really good musicianship, really mature, and I just wasn't that interested in it. Probably a little bit mainstream, maybe.
Okay.
Or I was just too tired to give it any attention. Listen to Led Zeppelin, Houses of the Holy.
Okay.
Got like one of my favourite songs on. Rain Song.
Rain Song.
Which is very relaxing to listen to.
Yeah.
I did a Black Sabbath playlist that was on the plane. They had playlists as well. So, and it was chronological, so started at the beginning, so I pretty much only listened to the Aussie era. There was an Iron Maiden. Well, there was an Iron Maiden album. They tended to put the last album for most of the bands, but they got Book of Souls.
Ah.
Iron Maiden. I said to you, I said, I don't want to listen to a song about a ship crashing.
Yeah.
I listened. They had an excellent playlist. It was, you know, like all the big hits from the 80s and then a few of the modern ones, which included Coming Home. They lined that up.
Yeah.
And you can watch there's a camera on top of the plane, so you can see where you're going.
Yeah.
And I was watching that and as I listened to Coming Home, the land of Australia came into view. I could not have set that up better.
Oh, nice.
I know. So that's pretty much me for the flight.
Well, that's good. I'm glad
it is good. I listened to like 3 podcasts on the plane as well.
You listen to three podcasts so on the long. Plane?
Yeah, we'll come to that later.
Well. Yeah, I don't know if you know about this, but next up, Kirsty, we have somebody with his own theme song now.
Really?
Yeah.
Can only imagine.
He doesn't sound pleased.
Good God.
Sometimes you're better off dead.
Hindsight, such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, Matthew, it is.
I'm really sorry that happened, Matt.
I'll make you a deal, Matt. Next week, you show up.
And you accidentally telling everybody.
I know, I really, I regretted that. I'll call your bluff.
I'll call your bluff.
Yeah, I'll cut you down at the knees is what I was thinking about your bluff, but that didn't go the way I thought.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. Next week, you show up, you've listened to Senjutsu, that goes away forever.
Well, that's not fair.
I know, but still.
You're going to bully me now.
No, I'm not
having
that.
That's not a bully, it's just a deal. I mean,
it's a threat.
I'm going to tell Billy.
Oh, yeah, now you're in trouble.
Oh. I mean, come on. Kirsty, if you did listen to the last week's Waffle, did you notice that it wasn't only me that was, discussing?
I was vilified.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you remember this one certain word that kept coming out of Villa. Bali. Bali. So, it was good.
I think he said something about taking one for the team. I'll just reiterate.
He did.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah.
There was no taking one for the team, I'll tell you that.
Villa was awesome.
Making jokes in a foreign language.
Oh, yeah. Kirsty, real quick.
Mm-mm.
Villa gave you a personal message last week. Did you hear it?
I did hear it.
Would you like to respond?
Kitos, Villa.
Okay. Matthew, would you like to add anything to that?
I'll wish him a happy birthday in English. I don't know if he's on a Kitos diet, is he?
But he's on a chili diet.
Kitos is thank you. You can't eat thank yous.
Unless they're a bag of peanuts. Chili
flavor. Move us into my paiva.
Wow. Matthew, with that, what did you listen to last week?
Well, would you believe? What was that nonsense you were playing a second ago? I'll let you do it one more time. Get the system.
Kind of like this here.
All right, that's enough. Good enough.
Okay.
Right. So would you believe I started out listening? I think I might have told you this. I started out listening to the Pet Shop Boys.
Pet Shop Boys. What do they sing? Go ahead.
I don't know what the name of the album was. Kirsty might know. It's from 1986 and had that track on it.
It's called, let's see here.
Got it on your phone, Steve?
Of course I'm playing it from my phone.
It's probably locked in there at the top.
Essential albums. It's got to be Further Listening. No. Is that it? Is that what it's called?
It doesn't matter because I started listening to the first track or maybe the second track. I don't even know if I got... Yeah, I did get through the first track. And I was like, I kind of don't mind his voice. It's okay.
Yeah.
But by the second track, whatever that was, I was like, oh, this reminds me of Placebo. And I was like, I'd much rather go listen to Placebo.
Oh, that's right. You saw it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I went and listened to Dancing with Ghosts. And for no other reason than the voices sounded very similar to me. And I wanted to hear the track, the butter end. The bitter end might be the butter end if you're from New Zealand. But I like that track a lot. But then I moved on to some Suicidal Tendencies again. Some Camera Revolution. And it's just, I don't know, I've been on a bit of a kick for that for the last couple of weeks.
What's his singing style like? Overall, like you've listened to more than limited. One album.
You didn't know they had more than one album.
No, I said you've listened to more than one album. Yeah. So
he has no range, but the music, God, I so underrated them musically. It's just really, really good. And I'm trying to think. I can't even describe his style. It's just very, very limited. Like, to say he's got no range, but it works in the music, I guess. But no, I'm still really enjoying that. But, okay. Oh, when You Can't Bring Me Down, that just the riff to that cranking in. I got goosebumps all over when that started. I was like, this is awesome. So I went listened to a little, well, it wasn't quite awesome, but I'm one of these weird kicks again where I just want to hear unusual things. So I went and listened to some Anvil. Anvil is Anvil. And I don't know what it is about them. I don't know if I want to like them or if I do like them or if it's just odd. But every now and then they draw me back for whatever reason. And I hadn't listened to this album before, but I really enjoyed it. The thing about them, their music is really, really good.
Sure.
Their vocals is what limits them. Like sometimes the lyrics can be a little juvenile, wishy-washy or whatever. And I don't know. I thought about it. I was like, this is a band that could really do with a better singer. But
aren't they from Canada?
They are.
I can think of another three-piece from Canada that could have done with a better singer.
You know, it's funny because I heard a track, I don't know what it was called, by the band you're talking about. I was like, oh, I didn't mind this. I was like, what is this? Then I found out what it was. And I was like, oh, I had no idea that this band was in a hurry.
Hey, don't get in a rush. You can tell us.
I don't know. It was a Rush song, but what did I hear it on?
Was it called Working Man?
I have no idea. I must have heard it as part of a podcast or something, but I can't think what it was. Or, oh, no, maybe someone put it in Patreon chat. I didn't realize.
Somebody put a song in there at some point.
And I didn't know. I was just clicking things and opening things up, and I was like, oh, this sounds all right. Oh, it's Rush. I was surprised.
Okay, nice.
But yeah, going back to Anvil, so it was really good musically, and I really, really liked the drumming within this. You know, sometimes I complain about the drumming being too busy, but this is just solid. And the only problem that I had with this album is the last track. It was like, oh god, it just brought it down. Everything else had been so good for so long. They've got this gang vocal, layered vocals. Forgive, Don't Forget, or something like this. I was like, oh my god, I wish I'd never heard this. It just brought the whole album down. But other than that, it's really good. But everyone just kind of mocks them. But I mean, I'd talked about them before. I'd never heard of them until that documentary, and I thought, this is all staged. I've never heard of this band. And
I know it seemed like it really seemed Spinal Tappy when you saw the previews and stuff.
And I watched it within the last 6 months or so, and it's a
good
watch.
We're gonna be stars. We're gonna be big. We're gonna be famous.
But you know what? They've made a living doing what they like. It's pretty hard to knock.
Sure.
But I know for the most part, people will just write them off. And yeah, maybe it's niche. I don't know. I just kind of don't mind it every now and then for something different to break things up.
They're like a poor man's Rush. They're like Wish.com Rush.
Well, I don't know that I would, from what I understand of Rush.
That's what Ian White would say, at least.
I think that there's musical excellence for Rush is what I get the vibe of.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I'm not saying anything about the vocals.
Yeah. Music, as an instrumental band, they're a really good band.
Mm.
Would you say the same thing about Anvil?
God, they could be. I think they could be so much more. But, you know, it's like time's against them now. They're not going to change. Anvil is Anvil. You know, it's suitable, the name of the album, and it suits them down to the T. That's what you're getting. And I would like to see them live. I know they came through here a number of years back, and I was like, I'm not going to go watch that. And I kind of regret now that I didn't. Anyway, one of my favorite albums, Fighting the World. Do you know who that is?
Fighting the World. Oh, gosh. It's
Every Single Day. Yeah.
Is this like, hold on. Is it the band that wears the underwear on their album covers or whatever?
Maybe. Maybe so. Manowar.
There it is.
Then I had a band that I like. I have a problem with this band, especially later material, but the early material is almost untouchable. Not the 35th anniversary album from this band, Annihilator, because that would have been Alice in Hell is celebrating its 35th anniversary this year, in case anyone was wondering. I listened to the album after that, Never Never Land. And I like this. I still think this is a good album. I always used to think this was too polished. I was going to say commercial, but it's too polished. But the guitar in it is awesome. Like, Jeff Waters, he's pretty good. But yeah. I think this had their best vocalist, Coben Farr. And, no, it's good. But, yeah, it's not the Alice in Hell that's celebrating its 35th anniversary this month, if anyone cares, other than me. Like Kirsty, I went and listened. Actually, I did a little mini binge on AHA. I watched my usual little videos on the tube during the week, searching for different live versions of different tracks. And I listened to one, Memorial Beach, again. I think I talked to you, Kirst, when I was listening.
Yeah,
to
you
that.
Did, yeah.
I did, and, that's right.
I'll be checking that one out.
Because it was one I never got into. I didn't like it when it first came out because it sounded so different. But no, I was really into that the other day. I listened to it a couple of times. And I, too, listened to some Scoundrel Days. And I also listened to some Hunting High and Low and some Stay on These Roads. So Morton's boys should get a couple of pennies from me off the fire for all the listens.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to some Rella. I'm there again as well on the fire. Long Cold Winter. You should know that one, Steve. That's your favorite, isn't it?
Long Cold Winter is an album that I really like.
Is that your favorite? No, that's your second favorite.
They're close. They're pretty close.
Mountain Climbing.
I
tell you what.
Yeah, I love both of those.
There was a track on there. Now, what do you think of the track? There are some really good tracks on there, but there was one that's a standout for me. What do you think of Long Cold Winter, the track?
I love it.
Oh, my God. I was like, this is... It's like a parody of a blues track. It was almost embarrassing.
Oh, God, man. I love that.
He is so over the top in that. It sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch.
It could. You know, I could see what you're saying, but I mean, that's just his singing style.
Oh, and then some. He's taken that to a whole new level during that.
I love that song. I like the guitar playing in it and stuff.
Oh, yeah, musically it's really good.
Yeah.
But, God, I was like, yeah, I don't know if I can do this, but I got through it. Because I did, I laughed. There was one part I just chuckled out loud, for real. But no, I like that, and I like Falling Apart at the Seams as well. So that was a cool little track. But I had enough of them. Now, I took some... Actually, this wasn't a recommendation. I listened to a podcast episode. It was only a little episode. By a band called Thor. I don't expect that many people would have. Oh, do you know about this, do you?
I mean, just the name. I've kind of...
He's just laughing because he listened to a band called Thor.
Yeah, isn't it kind of similar to Manowar? Isn't it kind of that kind of vibe?
No. It's nothing like Manowar at all. Manowar, I will come back and listen to
it. Yeah, okay. It sounds like it will be like Manowar if you don't know anything about them, which we don't.
Perhaps. So Ride of the Iron Horse. I'd seen a podcast come up with this title, and there was a headline on it. I don't know if I should say what it is. But it was definitely, to me, it was a clickbait tag. And I was like, if I'm going to listen to this, I want to go listen to this album. And I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. It's almost spoken wordish in a way, with music underneath. And so the first track was kind of okay. I thought, it's interesting. I didn't think much of it. I got to the second track, which is called Lightning Rod. And I just started laughing at this again, for real, out loud. It partly reminded me of the melody to Time Warp from the Rocky Horror Show, and it made me want to get off this and go and listen to that. And yeah. I've got a note. I felt this, and I'm not going to say the person's name, I felt that blank has baited me into listening to this rubbish, because by the third track, I can't take these vocals seriously, and I don't know if you're supposed to take them seriously or not, but the story in a nutshell, I guess this music's from the 70s, musically, it's pretty solid, but it's also vocalized by an ex-wrestler or entertainer. It was a wrestler and an entertainer or something. I forget now. I really don't want to go back and find out. But, okay, I'll tell you. The clickbait was, it was the worst album that I've ever heard, or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. Worst, I was like, oh, lots of people say that. I'll go check this out.
You know, I gotta admit here, I like that Matt's talking about clickbait, but and you can also hear him clicking.
And clicking.
Oh, sorry. yes, it was pretty woeful.
These special defects are awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, Chili, you got me. You got me to go listen to that rubbish. I'll never do that again.
Oh, boy.
Yes, Chili. It was your mate. Yes, like, no. I've never interacted with him.
We had a conversation the other day, though, that you told me that you told your son that every mate is pretty much anybody in the entire world. Like, if there's someone you've met that you're friends with, they're your mate. If there's someone that you know and you don't know their name, what do you call them?
I say, mate, hey, yeah, mate. Like, you try and play it off like you know who they are, but you really don't.
You said that, and there's another way you described it, too, where it's like, even if you don't know who someone is, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, yeah, mate. But yeah, but I've never met him or talked to him.
Okay, well, I bet you've spoken words to him when you're listening to his podcast.
I didn't use the word mate. When I listened to that machine.
Yeah, you did like this. Mate.
Listen here, mate.
Listen here, mate.
I'm going to take it on a stern tone, I'm sure. But the interesting thing about that was nothing, really. That album was just absolute nonsense. But it did make me want to go to listen to William Shatner. Now, William Shatner, because he was in the podcast a couple of weeks ago for one reason or another, got a bit of a chuckle. There was a bit of a William Shatner theme this week. I went and listened to his album, William Shatner Has Been, and I doubt, maybe you've heard it. I couldn't see it. Have you ever heard William Shatner do his musicals?
It's just like, music with him talking.
I've heard a little bit, yeah.
Common People, have you heard that?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
It is, really.
Yeah, it's like you can try and
It wouldn't inspire me to put on a whole album.
No, the rest of it's kind of like cabaret music with him working over the top. But there are some decent things within it. But
Working over the top.
Yeah. For the most part, I guess it amused me more than anything. But Common People, that track was really, really good. I did enjoy that. But I watched this show this week with Bill Maher or something on a Friday night. And William Shatner was the guest. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I just listened to his album a couple of days ago. Anyway, I'll just go through some other ones I listened to quickly. There was still some more Suicidal Tendencies, still Psycho After All These Years. Iron Savior, I wanted to listen to them. And I was like, oh, they've got a new album out called Firestar. So I went and listened to that.
What kind of music, like, what does that sound like? What style
Iron
is
Savior?
That?
Yeah. It's power metal-y kind of music, but not really power metal vocals, if that makes sense. There's no, like, gang chants and that sort of thing.
Is there any kind of tie to Maiden in there? I mean, like, style-wise or sound-wise in any way?
No, I don't think so.
No. I just think when I hear any band that has like Iron Something, it just makes me out of it, you know.
That's about what you can get. Like some of their albums I do like. This one, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of bored listening to this. The music's all good, but there's not enough range in the vocals and all. Like he sings okay, I just got kind of bored with it. Maybe
you've listened to a lot of that, haven't you? You got William Shatner, you got the guy from Suicidal Tendencies, the guy from Anvil.
don't forget Thor.
Thor.
You've had the weirdest week.
Yeah.
I really have. But then I kind of cleaned my act up and I got into some Anthrax, Spreading the Disease.
Okay.
Among the Living and Anthrax, Caught in a Marsh, BBC Live in Hammersmith Odeon in 1987.
Oh, nice.
And, this is a ripper, this one. I tell you what, I put this on and you can just feel the electricity
from
the start. Yeah, it is so good. Like they're so new, so raw. Oh, it was really good. And I don't know why. Something. What did I do? Oh, do you know what? You mentioned Black Sabbath, Kirsty.
Yeah.
So when I was looking for different music to listen to, I was like, oh, I'm going to try some Sabbath. And I went to put on Master of Reality, which I've never, ever listened to.
Ooh, that's a good
one. Anyway, so during the first. Oh, this is a leaps and bounds little story. So during the first track, whenever that was playing, I'm skimming the track titles and I saw Void, the word Void, and I don't know what I don't know what the song was.
Into the Void.
Did it, is that what it is? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then it,
that was on my playlist.
Was it? Oh, wasn't on mine. I didn't make it that far. But it made me think of Ace Frehley, Into the Void.
Yeah, yeah.
And for whatever reason, I was thinking that was off Dynasty. So no, I wouldn't play Dynasty. And then realized, it's on Carnival of Souls. Not Carnival, Psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay here with some Dynasty because I'm going to get to listen to Dirty Living and Save Your Love. So I listened to it twice.
About that, yeah.
Oh, they're cracker tracks, I think. And I was thinking about this. I was like, I really do enjoy that album. I think it's good. Apart from the first track, which is just too much. I've heard it so often. I'm way past fatigue on that. But the rest of the album is really solid. All I listened to.
Yeah, it's very misrepresented as far as because of that one song.
You know what? It's like Dance of Death. You take that song off and you get a different album.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, but people call that a disco album. And
I don't think it is.
It's mostly rock, and there's a couple of, you know... Dirty Living does have kind of a disco-y beat to it in a way.
Yeah, I can see that.
If you kind of pay attention to how the beat goes, but it's still a cool song. So.
Oh, that's a great track.
I love it, yeah. Uh-huh. So that's it? That's it for you?
Quite an eclectic little mix for the week that was.
Yeah, well, it's way more eclectic than mine. I've only got two bands, and... the most recent album by one of them, listen to Cinderella. The most recent released album was from Cinderella called Still Climbing, which I listened to. That was the last album I listened to this week. And it just, I played it over and over and over. Like every time I start listening to something, I just play that again. And I really like that album a lot.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Do you like Cinderella or Tom Kiefer or Kiefer or both?
I've never really listened to Tom Kiefer's solo stuff.
I
tried it once and it kind of, I really want to try it again because it's been a long time, but if I remember correctly, it kind of gave me a Heartbreak Station vibe.
It's still very bluesy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like more bluesy and horns and piano, kind of like honky tonky too. And, and that could be wrong. It's been so long that I never listened to his full album.
Yeah.
But he's I met him one time and he's a really very nice guy.
He seems pretty humble.
Yes. Surprisingly. Yeah, he seems really cool and he's really talented guy. So, I also listened to Long Cold Winter. And let me say this, the other two albums I listened to aren't even that new. So, they're older, but I know you're going to be really excited, Matthew, when I tell you the name of this other band, because it's got one of your favorite vocalists of all time in it. Yes, sir. Motley Crue.
Oh, God.
You know you're a big Vince Neil. I mean, weren't you talking nice about Vince Neil a couple weeks ago?
I'm not a big Vince Neil.
I sent you a Vince Neil clip the other day, didn't I, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah.
Vince Neil's a big Vince Neil.
Yeah, yeah. But I kind of went back in time and I was talking to... actually, it was Kirsty that got me to listen to Motley Crue because she sent me that little clip.
Oh, Jesus, I didn't expect that to happen. It should have put you off, if anything.
I know. But you sent it to me and I was with Sarah. And so I was playing it and, you know, just... I know what they're trying to sing and how bad it really is and... And so we're just kind of laughing a little bit out. And I go, you know, but he didn't always sound like this. I mean, he sounded, and she's like, well, what did he sound like? So I pulled out the favorite album by Motley Crue that I've ever liked, is Shout at the Devil. And I played her a couple of little pieces off of there. And, you know, I said, he used to sound like this. And he still didn't have the greatest voice, but it fit back then. And I listened to a couple of songs off of Shout at the Devil. And then the next day I just thought, I got to listen to Shout at the Devil because it is just, that is a all killer, no filler album. It's just the best thing they've ever done.
What's the other tracks on that?
You got Danger, you got 10 Seconds to Love, you got, Bastard, which is the song I was playing for, Too Young to Fall in Love, Looks That Kill, Shout at the Devil, Helter Skelter.
Oh, what is that like? That's what I was trying to think of. What's the cover of that like?
It's pretty, I'd say it's pretty spot on. I mean, it's pretty true to the. Well, here, I'll just play a little bit real quick. I got it right here.
I didn't have to do that.
Yeah, yeah, why not? And you also got Knock 'Em Dead Kid and Red Hot. There's your boy, Matt. Your mate.
Oh,
yeah, it's pretty. I mean, it's pretty accurate. I mean, because that was a good rocker for the Beatles, you know. So
yeah, no, his voice sounded okay on that.
Yeah, it's but the songs, and I was reading the reviews of something, and they just basically said, you know, after Shout at the Devil, there wasn't like every song on Shout at the Devil is worth listening to, and after that, it was like there was a few good songs and a lot of filler. But I guess when you're all drugged up, like. And drunk up, you can't really write a lot of good material. And that was back when a band was putting out an album every, you know, trying to do it every year or so.
Yeah.
And the second album I listened to by Motley Crue, Matthew, two. I listened to two Motley Crue albums this week.
God.
I went back in time because I thought, you know what? Way back when I got my very first cassettes from my cousin, like one side one had the self-titled Wasp album, side two had Rat, Invasion of Your Privacy, and then I got a Motley Crue, side one was Shout at the Devil, and side two was Theater of Pain. So I decided to go ahead and I said, you know what, let me just follow it and see what I think of Theater of Pain now. And it was okay, I didn't mind it. It kind of was a little, you know, blast from the past from, you know, being 13, 14 years old or whatever I was whenever I was hearing that. And I think Theater of Pain's a decent album. It's not too bad. I was tempted to go to the next album. I was like, you know what? Let me just keep going through their catalog. But then I thought, wait a minute. The next album is Girls, 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 and I don't want to hear that.
So, that album is pretty big.
It was, yeah, I mean, because they were
pretty good.
Yeah, and it's funny because you got two polar opposites here. Because Cinderella was a band that was about the music. And Motley Crue was a band that was probably more about image, and they, you know, the music was important, but image and being bad boys, and really they played all that up because, you know, there wasn't no such thing as bad press back then. So
yeah,
but yeah, that's the only two bands I listened to, and I really, really love Shout at the Devil. It is an amazing album. I mean, if anyone hates Motley Crue, go listen to Shout at the Devil. It's just a solid, solid album. So now we can talk about podcasts. I know Kirsty said she listened to a few on an airplane. So what you got, Kirsty?
Well, I caught up on yours. So yeah. I listened to the Blaze Bailey Circle of Stone review, which was really good. You just kept saying, I like it all the way through.
Yeah, I like it.
It's really good, so I didn't have to be there. Steve, you shouted Rage so loudly. It was like when you shout horse shite and I have to, but I know that's coming and I get my headphones off ready.
I don't even remember doing that.
That made me know I was alive, that's for sure.
The lady in row 18, can you keep the noise down, please?
Yeah. Exactly. I got lots of mentions, and you're right. I would have got a match with Steve on Broken Man because he put it last, and
I knew you didn't like.
Fan of that one.
Good. Yeah, I like that song though.
I know it was really funny the way that Matt kept getting the name of Mind Reader wrong, even though he listened to it like solidly for about 5 days or something. Yeah, Mind Bender, Unbreakable.
He's got special
edition.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
And yeah, to tell you, I've got the CD. I bought it from Blaze's site and had it sent to my mum and dad's house to save on the postage.
Oh, nice.
And so I picked that up, so I've got that to play this week. My Mandrake Project CD's just arrived as well after I pre-ordered it.
Very good.
But, you know, I do live in WA, so I have to wait a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I caught up on the Iron Maiden story as well. Eric, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, that was really good.
Yeah.
Except that he said that Number of the Beast was overrated and only had three iconic songs, and the rest was filler. And I thought, which iconic songs? So he said, "Hallowed Number of the Beast, Run to the Hills." Well, it's fair. But I was like, oh my God, what about Children of the Damned? What about, actually, I love every song on that album. I don't think you could overrate it enough.
Yeah, I
But
think
there you go.
he made an interesting point, you know, just kind of like that everybody will automatically just kind of throw it out there. And I think, but yeah, when he said three songs, I was like, whoa, what about Children of
Hello.
the Damned? You know, I mean, even if you're going to include one more, what about Acacia Avenue?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, anyway, but you know, it's always good when someone has a interesting take, though, isn't it? Otherwise, we're all just saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I like it.
Yep. I listened to Judas Priest cast,
Which
and
episode?
they had a guy called Punt Road, who's from Perth, but I've met him, everybody. That's my claim to fame. And I think what they were on to talk about Judas Priest, they did eventually. They talked about how Judas Priest had influenced other bands, I think. But it was just really cool listening to Punt talking about Western Australia, AC/DC, just his love of music, all his favourite bands, and his family and his life.
Yeah,
He
I
was
need to hear
really
that one.
knowledgeable and an entertaining guest. Oh yeah, and then we got you again.
Me
The waffle
again.
from last week with Villa, which was
Yeah.
really, it was a nice surprise because I wasn't paying attention hard enough and I didn't spot the clue that
I
it was going to
know.
be on.
I told him too. I said, I think you just gave it away. We were hiding it, and I
Yeah, I
said,
heard the pre-waffle because he sent a picture to our chat group, and you couldn't really see that you were on a call with Matt. There was just a picture of
But it was Matt's thing, and I thought,
Andy in the
you know,
corner.
she
Yeah, well,
sees
it's not
that,
like,
so maybe she'll, you know, you're an investigative person. We know this.
I do like to do my research.
Nosy's the word he was saying while you were away.
Yeah, sorry, it came out wrong.
I've never denied this. I do like to know what's happening.
Yeah.
But in this case, I didn't, and it was a really nice surprise.
Awesome.
So that's all my podcasts for the week.
Should we have called that instead of we should instead of calling it like the Villa Waffle, we should have just called it the Waffle.
Well, yeah, if you wanted to say I'm German.
That's okay.
No,
I
actually, you sound like Arnie.
don't know who that is.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger.
Oh, Anna. We got Wille on the Waffle.
They the isn't
Exactly.
he the former governor? I don't think he's governor anymore, is he?
Yeah, former, yeah. So Matthew,
Yeah, I watched a documentary about that on Netflix.
on the airplane?
No,
No,
it
Netflix,
was
not on
good.
the airplane.
Have you got any more shows for me to watch, Kirsty, about people rolling cheese down hills or anything like that?
Did you watch the whole series?
No.
No, because the week after the cheese rolling, there's a chili eating competition, so that was
Oh,
really
I
good.
did see
And
that one. Yeah.
that was in America.
Whoa, that was. Them people look like they were gonna die.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
No, I don't have anything else on those lines for you to watch at the moment. Oh, I
Okay.
watched the thing about people training to be mermaids.
Oh,
That was
dear.
good.
Yeah, I'll take your word for that one. Matthew, what you got?
Not very much. I only listened to a few this week because I guess I spent most of my time probably working and listening to music.
Okay.
But I did listen to the Metal Chat podcast with Melissa and Beck, or Burgle. And she did an episode on a French band, or they did, I should say, Sortilege. I can't remember how they pronounced it. And also, I don't know if I've ever heard of this band or not. And if I have, it's just in passing. I'm sure I'd never heard anything, but I liked it. I liked the banter between the two of them for one. But they played some little snippets of the music, and just
Okay.
enough to kind of suck me in to make me wonder, would I have liked this band when I was growing up? And it made me think of Villa a little, and part of the discussion that we had last week, or maybe it was online. I can't remember. Because they're a French band, and so all their early albums were obviously sung in French. They did some later stuff in English, but apparently it wasn't as cracker as what the early stuff was. But I was like, well, you know what? It shouldn't really matter, because you can just sit back and enjoy all the vocal melodies that way. You don't have to know what the lyrics are, if they're nonsense or political or juvenile or whatever. But no, it was good. Some good music there. But just made me wonder, you know, they've been around for so long, early 80s or 1980, 81. Would I have been into them? But I don't know. The way I think now may not have been the way I thought at the time when I was a teen. So maybe the lyrics would have been important to me, and the fact that I couldn't understand what they were saying could have been to detriment. But no, the music sounded really good. And yeah, it was a good conversation between the two of them. And Feck also had an episode on it. But I didn't listen to his. They were very close in times. I think it was like 9 minutes difference. So I thought, okay. I just happened to see Melissa's come up first and went and had a listen to that. But it was very good. She'd give it a ear to listen with. Sonic Temple. I learned something about that. An album by The Cult with music from a lifetime. That this was Bill or Metal, what do you call him? Metal Kevin.
What did you call him earlier?
Yeah, Billiam. I was really excited to see that one come up, and I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, so I don't know if the music was going to grab me or not. He said that it just kind of latched onto him. That was his starting point, and he was right into it. The only thing it really did was remind me that I haven't listened to Midnight Sun for a while. Could be a good month or so. But it was just interesting the way, you know, people get, they hear a thing, and just the way it gets its hooks into you. And that was good. But the music for me, I was like, I don't think I want to hear The Cult like this. I like what I've heard, where they are, you know, more recently, that sort of tone. But I can't say I wouldn't enjoy it if I listened to it. I'd probably think it was okay. But then he had another episode on a band called Elf. I'm sure that you know who Elf is.
Yep.
That's one. Surely a little band like Elf. Steve, you've got all sorts of puns and jibes and jabs that they're ready to go with.
I'm short on time.
In that case, we'll keep it
small. I only have a little bit of time right now, Matthew. I don't want to try to dwarf what you're about to say. I know the word midget isn't really allowed. I won't use that one.
And yet you did.
I did. I was just clarifying that I'm not allowed to use the word midget when I'm talking about an elf, because that would be disrespectful.
Proud of you, Steve. That. You're getting very PC there.
Yeah, of course. You know, we're all about being politically correct over here. So go ahead, Matthew. Tell us about the... Go ahead.
Music from a lifetime. Elf, the Carolina County Ball. So I learned, listening to Billiam, Mr. Bill, that they had a couple of albums out. Now, I listened to an Elf album last year, and either I was in a weird place, which was possible, because I remember that I really enjoyed it. And it had a honky-tonk sound, you know, piano, rock, and all this sort of thing. I remember talking about it, but I've never listened to it again. This was a tough listen. So all Bill's parts, listening to the history and all that, is good. What let it down was all the music that he was playing through it. And oh my God, this song, The Carolina County Ball. If I happened to have liked that last year when I listened to this, I don't know. I must have been in a bit of a messed up place, because I couldn't wait for this to end. And it's funny because Bill said the same thing. What he looked forward to the most with this album, listening to it, was the end.
It was the best part.
Yes. It's not that it was bad. I don't even know how to describe it. I just don't want to describe it. Yeah, I don't think I'll go back to that. I'll have to be in a really weird place. But then after that, the last thing I listened to was the Asylum podcast, grading 1983 hard rock albums. Mm. So there was a, you know what, there was a good little batch of albums coming out that year that I hadn't realized there was as many as what there was. So they had touched on some different bands, except Kiss, Y&T. Now, that's a band I'd heard of but knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. So Maiden, some Dio. They
probably
talked about
some Motley Crue.
Oh, that's what it was.
Shout of the they Devil.
They were talking about Motley Crue on there. That's where I'd heard it. Yeah, but I wasn't really paying too much attention to the Motley Crue stuff because it just doesn't interest me. But the rest of it was good. Y&T was a band. I was like, they were nothing like, well, at least what they played was nothing like I expected to hear. I just thought I was going to hear like old AOR kind of rock or something. Mm-hmm. But whatever they played, I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. Now, whether I'll go and listen to it, yeah, we'll see. But they were talking about Dio. And I don't know, I'm not going to elaborate on what they did, but there was a comparison made with Dio and a chicken.
Which one was taller?
You should go and listen to the episode. I thought it was a pretty good episode, actually. But I would agree with Ray. They were talking about, was this the best Dio album as well? And I don't think it is. He differs from me on what album he liked, but for me, it's Dream Evil. I think that's the best. I think he said Sacred Heart or no, Last in Line. But that was really good. I thought it was a good episode to listen to. And that was me for the week. Well, just good. A few.
Okay. Well, I've got a few podcasts that I listen to here. One that will probably surprise Matthew was I listened to an episode of Pod of Thunder. And it was their newest episode about a band.
Yeah, is this the one on Buck Cherry that I also listened to and forgot?
Yeah, Buck Cherry, it's a song called Lit Up.
Didn't go the way I thought.
Which is like, I don't know that I've ever even heard that song, but when they talked about it, it's like a direct ripoff of Shock Me by Kiss. Like, oh man, I mean, it's like so close. It was an interesting episode, I mean, you know. And
I thought they were going to rip it a new one, is what I expected.
But given where music was when they started talking about it and how it was like just old school, you know, rock and roll drugs. I mean, there's a line in it that goes, I love the cocaine. I love the cocaine or something. I thought that was kind of, I don't think I could listen to them. I don't really, but they had a real swagger about them, it sounds like. And it was a fun episode. I really, really enjoyed it. I laughed out loud quite a few times on that one. And I always enjoy when I listen to Pod of Thunder. I just don't listen enough. So,
what's the breakout star? God, for as often as I listen to it, I can't remember the names. The breakout star of the podcast. What's his name? Chris. Yeah, he was the one. When I saw the title of this, I was like, this is going to be a good one to listen to because they are going to tear this apart. And he was the total opposite. He basically praised him. I just didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I know.
The way I got introduced to Buck Cherry, it was a movie from early 2000s. It had Tom Green in it, Road Trip. And they had a track called Anything. It's a cover song by another band. Mm. And I was like, oh, what is this? This song's awesome. Because I'd never heard of Buck Cherry. But when I went and listened to the rest of their stuff, I was like, oh, this is just like that sleazy LA kind of rock stuff that doesn't do nothing for me.
Yeah, it's almost like a Guns N' Roses kind of sleaziness to it.
And
lyrically even, because, you know, GNR had like, you know, Mr. Brownstone and stuff like that. So, let's see. I also listened to some Jim Florentine. He had The Good Side of Bad News, and then he had a Patreon episode that I listened to as well that was really... He's got some good stuff lately, and I'm 100% in 13 days, I believe it's in 13 days, me and a guy that I work with are going to see Jim Florentine, got tickets to go see him in Dallas, so looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun night. We're going to be real close to the stage. So
he's gonna pick on you again.
Oh man, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. So, and let's see. Also listened to the Sonic Temple episode from Music from a Lifetime. That's that one, Matt, that I keep telling you about, where they'll go, you're listening to Music from a Lifetime from Metal Cavern Podcasting.
Oh, see, I know Music from a Lifetime, but.
Yeah, there's another one. Maybe it's another one.
There might be. I think we keep crossing the lines on that one.
Yeah. And then the last podcast that I listened to was the Osbournes, and I listened to two podcasts by them, and they both have long titles. One is called Diddy Drama, Sharon's Big Brother UK Surprise, and Princess Kate's Diagnosis. And it's Kirstie, you being from England, how do you feel overall? Like, what's your overall quick take on the royal family, and do they still belong in what they're doing?
I think they've probably gone down in popularity quite a bit since the Queen died. And I don't think they handle things very well.
Yeah.
But the way that they dealt with all the Kate rumors by, them putting out that photograph. Yeah, they just needed to just keep quiet.
Yeah.
To carry on keeping quiet. They just kind of added fuel to the fire, and it's really hard for her because she's dealing with a cancer diagnosis and she's got all that going on as well.
Yeah. Well, but Sharon... Yeah, okay, sorry, go ahead.
That's it. I'm not like a really big, really hugely interested in the royal family unless there's something big happening like the coronation or something to watch. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Sharon is very, like, very, very, very pro... their family and the royal family and all the traditional things they do and whatever. And but yeah, she had a lot of interesting things to say about that. And I guess she was on a show over there called Big Brother. And I don't know if that would have been happening while you were over there or if it was airing while you were over there, if you know anything about that, but it sounded kind of like an interesting thing. So, and then there's another episode and this is what it was called. Shaving Your Feet, Dirty Plane Habits, and Boeing Flight Down. And I always like listening to Ozzy and what he has to say. And I really enjoy the whole family. I think they all sound pretty neat. So, and then I'll throw this in there just for Matthew. Just quickly. It won't be 20 minutes long this week.
Oh, but, you're not doing this again, are you?
No. The boy that I was talking about last week, Jody
Plache,
he has a book out called Why Gary Why, and it's in audio form. And I listened to the whole book this week, and it's really good. It's I honestly think anyone that's a parent that has kids, it talks a lot about people that groom families, groom people. Talks about a lot about rape and just different things that go on in life and how to help to report things, prevent things. A lot of good information and facts in that book, along with the story is interesting as well. So, but I really enjoyed it. Wasn't an easy listen, but it was he's got a great outlook on life given the circumstances that happened to him. So, but I thought I had to mention that too. So. Because I don't really listen to audiobooks, so
you didn't really have to mention it. That's okay.
What did you say?
Was that out loud?
yeah, it was. It was. So, last week we had a episode. We're gonna do the thank yous now, Matthew. Or, unless you want to talk. Story. Unless you want me to get more into the book.
Hey, so who are you gonna thank first?
I'm gonna thank Matthew.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the murderer.
Battling through last week's waffles.
Yeah, then. we got to thank that. I'm not going to say that. I was going to say something different, but that'll be really dark, and I don't want to lose Matt. Definitely don't want to lose Kirstie. We just got Kirstie back.
Be darker than last week.
Yeah, what I was going to say was pretty dark. Okay. Last week's episode was the album opening track discussion, and you'll be happy to know, Matt, that it wasn't shared by a lot of people, so it'll be quick.
I got to say, I did listen to that as well. I forgot to tell you.
Well, good.
I've been so busy catching up.
Just assumed it was a skipper.
Yeah. I know one person that might would say that, but...
I got to it eventually.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, that's good. So we had the Scouse chatbot 1.0, David Laird, in Liverpool, England. We had the guy who was after Matt and Villa last week, Gen Mariatani in Chiba, Japan, the official detention teacher. Did you ever hear from him, Matt? Did he ever locate you?
No, but I was keeping a low profile during the week.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought there. Speaking of somebody who he might have been looking for, I found him. Yo Villa. Willy Wadiwerta. He did like that when I said it to him. Like literally right when I got on the phone with him and he said, "Can you hear me?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, can you hear me?" He's like, "Yeah," I go. And then I just went launched right into it and he got a good laugh. So next up was the fourth Hell Rider, the Rock-a-Rolla in Idaho. And let's see here. We got a few what they call queet quotes. So we'll start here with the official politician of the podcast, the Honorable Counselor Sir Richard Holmes of the Ulster Unionist Party. In Garvagh, Northern Ireland, Matthew.
Yeah.
And he says, "Fascinating discussion. Wouldn't you just love to have been a fly on the wall when bands were discussing running orders, and especially back in the day when there were two sides? Wish I had the time to lose my own list and time to choose. Would be so much fun." So, and next up, we...
Yeah, imagine this guy, he wants to have some cashews. He got a Yosemite from France. He's talking about a 103-year-old grandma at a wedding. Might be a funeral, eh? He said, "Awesome idea and episode. Iron Maiden knows how to open an album, in most cases. I wasn't surprised to see that the current choices were the best. Might list together with an alternative opener when I see one." So what that means, Matt...
I was just thinking, Kirsty, do you see what you've been missing out on the last
Is it?
I know, I can't skip bits because I'm here listening to it in real time.
He only gives us a new opener when he finds one worthy to give. So I just read those. Iron Maiden. Well, you got Prowler. Number the Beast he put right into the hills.
Alright, I can't do that no more. It's too much. Good. Did I hear that right?
Yep.
Let's see here.
"Caught somewhere in time," he said, "see a madness."
I hope Simeon's eating some cashews while he listens this week.
He's going to have really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Let's see here. For Seventh Son, he wrote "Only the Good Die." Well, what? I'm confused by what he did here. Is this supposed to be a better opener, "Only the Good Die Young"?
An alternative, not necessarily a better.
Oh, okay, there we go. And then, see, for No Prayer, he just, I guess, No Prayer, Be Quick or Be Dead, he left Man on the Edge for X Factor, Future Real, Wicker Man, Montsegur Matthew for Dance of Death. I think that would be a lot better opener.
Good.
I mean, anything on that album would have been a better opener than...
Do you remember when Wayne used to do the Steve's Diary and Steve was using the urinal or he was urinating into the toilet? That would have been a better opener.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like Wildest Dreams as an opener personally, but...
I would rather hear Steve Harris holding his bass and urinating at the same time. But that's just me.
Yeah.
Maybe that can be arranged. Get in touch with Steve Harris.
Yeah, we'll see.
Don't get in touch with Steve when he's doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Matt, we've already had enough, Kirsty, about people getting in touch.
Too much.
Kirsty, real quick. There was a post in the Patreon group a while back, and it had West End Girls at the bottom of a list, and right above it was a song. Do you remember what the name of that song was? It had like "Hands All Over" or some kind of song.
No, "Touched by the Hand of God."
Oh God. Okay. So, Matter of Life and Death. He has Pilgrim for Final Frontier. He has The Alchemist, and for what is this? My mind is slipping here, Matthew. Book of Souls, he has Death or Glory. And for Senjutsu, he just has Days of Future Past, which I guess, but he doesn't have, he has Senjutsu also. So I guess that means he thinks that's the best opener. Can't really disagree there. Next up, we have the guy whose Twitter handle is Metal Cavern Podcasting.
Oh, Music from a Lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
William.
Yeah, that guy, he's called him Metal Kevin here. Yes, the one that always says, you're listening to the Metal Kevin Podcasting Network.
Yeah, I've not heard that. I don't know what you're talking about. Is it on the fire?
Yes, it's on the fire. I can't believe you haven't heard it.
Another fun and speculative episode. Chose my list before diving into the episode. Mostly, I think I discovered that the band knows what they are doing in regards to opening song choices. So here's what he chose. And I'll go in order here. He has an asterisk next to songs that he said would have been a better opener. Running Free for the first album, and he says that would have been a better opener. I'll only say it when it was a better one. Killers. He might have a special edition of of Number of the Beast, because he has Ganglands, then Sun and Steel, 2 Minutes to Midnight, Sea of Madness, Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter, Judas Be My Guide. A better opener for the X Factor, he says, would have been Man on the Edge. Then When Two Worlds Collide, Ghost of the Navigator. Now, hard to believe this one, Matthew, but he says a better opener on Dance of Death would have been New Frontier.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Then he had Brighter Than a Thousand Suns, El Dorado, Death or Glory, and Days of Future Past. So he only had three that he thought had a better, that he came up with a better opener for. So, next up, we have the happiest man in podcast land, Genmar Yutani in Chiba, Japan. And he says, this would be another fun speculation. If you want to know the reasons why I picked those songs, please read the following. And let's see what we got here. So he chose alternate Iron Maiden album openers. Remember Tomorrow? I can't see Remember Tomorrow being an opener, though. That seems a little too slow to start the album. Genghis Khan, Into Another Life. So I guess he kind of did the same thing there. Children of the Damned, Matthew. How do you feel about that as an opener for Number of the Beast?
Yeah, interesting. I could see maybe how someone could pick that.
The Trooper as an opener for Peace of Mind. That would have been a good opener. That would have been a just, golly, can you imagine the album opening with that?
You said no.
Yeah, but, you know, like you said, it's the best song.
Yeah.
Rhyme of the Way Too Soon.
Could you see Rhyme the Ancient Mariner be the opener for Power Slave? No,
That's surprising.
You'd be wondering, does this track ever end?
Yeah, right, yeah. He has, for his favorite album, he has The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner. The Evil That Men Do. That could have been a good opener for Seventh Son, I could think.
Yeah.
Now, I know Matthew thinks that this would have been a good opener for No Prayer. Before I tell you about it, Matt, you better watch out, because this one's probably going to shock you.
Better watch out.
Yeah. He has The Assassin.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Alternate album openers. Okay. Fear of the Dark is an album opener. Man on the Edge, that makes sense. The Angel and the Gambler is the album opener for X Fact, for Virtual 11. Whew. That would have been a rough one. Ghost of the Navigator for Brave New World. That would have been solid. Rainmaker would have been perfect for Dance of Death. Lord of Light for A Matter of Life and Death. El Dorado for Final Frontier. That seems kind of a weird opener just because of the way it starts.
That's what I think works for it.
Yeah, okay. Empire of the Clouds for Book of Souls. This is bizarre. And Hell on Earth, Kirsty, for Senjutsu.
Okay, so like he likes to have a
epic openers. Epic
for a starter. I know he likes Sign of the Cross a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. The Riffweiser, Jesse in Illinois. And Matt, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Jesse decided to, I think he was trying to troll me.
Yeah.
On Twitter. Probably, yes. He was playing Hooks in You. And I'll be honest, when
yeah, that's right. That was good.
When I listened to it, I remember thinking, I like this riff better when Jesse's playing it, because I think
it's just a really good riff. It's just
there's something about the way it is in the song that I don't know if it's maybe Bruce Jesse slowed the riff.
Horrible on it, I think.
And I think too, that's true. But watching, you know, being able to watch Jesse play the riff, like the way his hand, like I was like, wow, that's a pretty complicated riff. So, let's see. Jesse said, "Die with Your Boots On" would be an awesome opener to Peace of Mind. I think that's a good call. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And Matt, and I'm not just saying your name. He's actually addressing you. Okay. Hooks in You would be fantastic for No Prayer for the Dying.
Can I argue?
That would be a terrible opener.
No, it wouldn't. I didn't go with that, but I did ponder it for a little bit.
He says, I think switching opening and closing tracks works on a few albums as well. So. And then last week we had a guy that shared named Ake Coffee 16 in Columbia. And remember this, Matt, because it said Pogata with a P?
Yeah.
And he shared, he gave us a quechua, but it's just like a hand with the horns. So appreciate that. Now, let's find the Waffle Zone on here, because it's on here somewhere. And you know, this past week we had the anniversary of two Iron Maiden albums. We had the anniversary for Seventh Son, as well as the anniversary of the first Iron Maiden album. So,
a lot of anniversaries this month on good albums. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, well, other than maybe that Annihilator one you keep talking about.
Well, yeah, Alice in Hell Annihilator. That was 1989 in April. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
So here, last week on the Waffle Zone, Matthew, it said, stiff drink required. Stiff drink. And then based on your commentary, I wrote, mature themes this week.
My commentary?
Yeah, he asked you if we should put it. Villa said, should we put a stiff drink warning on this episode? You said, I think you need to put something that kind of said like adult themes or something like that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So next up it says, number three, a very dark conversation, dead serious, not for the woke. Yet Kirsty listened. and then I wrote, murder.
Yeah, I skipped a bit.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it would. Well, you may not like it. I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
You've told me that story four times now in the last week and a half.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, it's as a parent, it's a story.
Anyway, who was the next person you had?
Shut up. the next one, it said murder and betrayal. That was number four. I was trying to give as many warnings on here as possible. And then I said, number five, someone near Russia. Matt learned last week, Kirsty, that Russia is pretty close to Finland.
I didn't realize how close it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Number six, 666. And Matt will appreciate number seven. I wrote, seven ways to win, comma, hear about one this week.
I'm trying to think, why would I appreciate that?
No, seven. That's one of the ways to win.
Oh, okay.
You want me to tell you how?
Sure. No, I don't.
Yeah, you know what I'm about to say, don't you?
I really don't.
Okay,
seven ways to win.
Well, I said,
no,
I said,
don't, Matt. Don't encourage him.
I said, here's. I said, listen in to hear one of them.
Oh, okay. You got six more you can worry about. Let's move on.
I was nice to Kirsty on that one. I kept giving you the chance to ask me not to. Okay, this time we got the Scouse Chatbot 1.0, David Laird, Liverpool. Jesse the Riff Weiser in Illinois. Gen Mariatani, the official Dave Murray of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. The Rocka Rola in Idaho.
Is he still cooking? I don't notice him cooking anymore.
I would guess so. I would guess so, yeah. So, and Rocka Rola also did a tweet. He said, "I'm always down for anything that requires a stiff drink." Metal Kevin from Metal Cavern Podcasting said...
Otherwise known as Billiam.
Oh, Matt's really going to appreciate this. You know how MASH started off as a comedy and then went dark? That's like this week's waffle. Where did that come from? Also, Matthew.
Yeah.
Still climbing? Yes. Heartbreak Station?
No.
Great to hear Villa on the line too. Well done, lads.
He did a good job of Villa.
Yeah. And then the last one here, Matthew. The last tweet quote of the week. This is how we're going to go out, Matthew, on this tweet quote. You ready?
Sure. Bring it on.
The next one here is from Simeon in France. He said, a two-hour waffle with a surprise. It's the rhyme of the ancient waffles.
And that's it, Matthew. Kirsty, any final words, Kirsty?
Goodbye.
So you're going to say, so glad to be back.
Yeah, I should have said this at the beginning instead of the end, Kirsty, but welcome home. It's been too long. We missed you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's been nice to be back, really.
Yeah, awesome. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Bye.